The Truth Discovered, compiled by Brother Colin and Sister Valerie Edwards of Newbury, UK. Chapter 19, which was submitted by Brother O.F. Collins. An unassuming fellow who... I was born on 14th February 1864 in Albany, Vermont, USA, and reared as a Baptist. That was the faith of my parents, who moved to Iowa when I was nearly 4 years old. As that country was thinly settled by white people, the Native Americans not having all moved out of the northern part where we settled, social and religious privileges were at a minimum. In course of time, a church was built by the Baptists in a village 3 miles from us, and we attended as regularly as possible. But the preaching and teaching in the Sunday school was of a very crude nature, and naturally created little interest amongst the younger generation. Practically everyone who called himself a Christian in those days believed in the doctrines of heaven going at death, the immortality of the soul, a personal devil, and eternal torment for the wicked. I grew up under such conditions and was taught to read the Bible from cover to cover, which I did faithfully, though I had no distinct idea of what it was all about, which was also true of those who were preaching and teaching it. My mother died when I was 17, and 4 years later I migrated to California. I first spent several years on the great grain ranches of the San Joaquin Valley, which at that time was a vast wheat field hundreds of square miles in extent, where the present inhabitants have long been importing the flour for their bread. Houses were miles apart, and too little attention was paid to religious and social life. After that, for a few years, I roamed over the state, working for a time here and there to determine which location I liked best. When I was about 29 years old, I worked in a lumber yard in the town of Woodland, a few miles from Sacramento. There were several churches of different denominations, and I always attended one or other of them, from force of habit, as the early teachings of my mother had not been forgotten. 3 of the churches joined in a series of revival meetings and employed a professional evangelist to stir the people up. All converts were allowed to choose the church they wished to affiliate with. It was my first opportunity since coming to the state to hear much in the way of a religious service, and as I was naturally of a religious turn of mind, I had so far escaped most of the pitfalls of the Wild and Woolly West, though that was what it really was then. I soon became interested in the meetings, and under the influence of the speaker's oratory, I thought I had gotten religion, and I went to the mourner's bench along with dozens of others. I was told that I was saved and various other things, all of which I took for granted were true, and as there was no Baptist church there, I chose to unite with the Congregational Church, the pastor of which was but a few years my senior and seemed a very likeable fellow. They would admit members with or without baptism of any kind, but I insisted on immersion, as I knew the Bible taught that at least. I immediately took an interest in the church work and attended all the meetings and social affairs. After a few weeks, I began to feel that I was hearing much from the pulpit, for which I could not find proof in the Bible, but I thought it was owing to my ignorance, as I had all confidence in the preacher, who was a good speaker, and apparently of far more than ordinary education. Finally, I concluded I would have a talk with him and get the matters which were bothering me cleared up, supposing that he could easily set me right with his superior knowledge of the scriptures. I made an appointment and spent an evening with him in his study, asking questions about the things I didn't understand. And to my horror, I discovered that he knew no more about the answers than I did, and evidently cared far less. He dodged most of the questions with the remark, "That is a mystery not revealed, and we must spiritualize it." I left his study so disappointed and disgusted that I had no desire to ever see him again. A few weeks later, I moved to San Francisco, where all denominations were available, and I proceeded to shop around, hoping that one of them had a solution for my problems. The landlady of the house where I lived was a Catholic, and persuaded me to accompany her to church once, which proved very interesting as a sort of entertainment which I'd never witnessed before, but it was far from solving my difficulties. During the year of my stay in San Francisco, I went the round of all the denominations listed in the directory, even the Jewish synagogues, and found nothing to satisfy my mind. As I did not have sufficient knowledge of the scriptures to ferret out the answers for myself, and no one seemed able to do it for me, I actually became so discouraged over it that I was tempted to discard it all and pin my future hopes on living as godly a life as I could with my feeble understanding. In the spring of 1895, I concluded to visit the old home in Iowa, where most of the family still lived. I purchased a 60-day round-trip ticket, intending to spend half of that time in Iowa, and the balance with an older brother who lived in Grand Forks, North Dakota. He was in the farm machinery business, and when I arrived there, I learned that he was short of help and the right kind was hard to get, and would I stay for a year at least to help him out? My 9 years in California had dimmed my memory of North Dakota winters, and as it was a lovely spring at that time, I consented, and he had a family large enough to fill his house. So I fitted up a small room of the office where I worked for sleeping quarters, and I boarded at a near hotel. As usual, I attended church on Sunday from force of habit, though I didn't believe half they said, and it was of little interest to me. About the second or third Sunday after my advent, I returned to the hotel after church for dinner and seated myself at a table just large enough for two. Opposite me sat a fine-looking young man, but a few years my senior. After a few commonplace remarks, he asked if I'd been to church. I said, yes, I always attend church when I can. Then he asked if I was affiliated with any church. As he seemed interested in religious matters, and I was full to bursting point of my experiences of the previous year, I said I had no choice, as they were all alike to me, and the whole matter of religion had proved too much for me to fathom to my satisfaction. And I related to him in as few words as possible my experience, as I have done above. He was a very unassuming young fellow, but in his quiet way he soon dropped a few remarks about the scriptures that were new to me and set me thinking seriously. He was employed by an abstract and title company and lived in the hotel where I was eating daily. And before we parted, I had a most cordial invitation to spend all the evenings I cared to with him in his room, and we would talk over my difficulties. I grabbed at the opportunity as a drowning man at a straw. And with very few exceptions, my evenings during the following year were spent in Edgar MacDonald's room, absorbing the blessed gospel that Christ taught and that I had so been looking for, but in my ignorance and without avail. He was the youngest of a large family of a Baptist preacher in London, Canada, and had been practically disowned by his father for adopting Christadelphian doctrines. At the close of my year of service for my brother, and after a winter in North Dakota, I was anxious to return to where the oranges grow. So after being immersed in the baptistry of the Christian Church, which was kindly offered for our use, I was prepared to return to California. Edgar had a brother and sister living in Wenatchee, Washington, which I would pass through, and he concluded to go that far with me. When he discovered that I had stopover privileges on ticket, he gave me the address of a brother and sister Watson in Tacoma, who were Canadian friends of his, and he said they would be pleased to see me. I stopped overnight with them and had a delightful visit. It happened to be the first birthday of their baby girl, and it was well celebrated. After I came home, we corresponded occasionally to keep in touch with each other. After about 5 years, Brother Watson died. And some 4 years after that, I married his widow, Jean Watson, the first Christadelphian sister I ever met. She died here in Santa Barbara in June 1944, shortly before the 40th anniversary of our wedding. Edgar MacDonald died about 2 years after I left Dakota of TB. We with which he knew he was afflicted when I made his acquaintance. Needless to say, it would take a lot of argument to induce me to believe that the hand of God did not guide me on that trip. It was the most direct answer to prayer that I ever experienced. Yes, God does answer prayer. It may not be in just the way we ask for it or just at the time we want it, but he knows best about that. And if we serve him faithfully, he will give us what is best for us. We must learn to trust when we cannot understand.